the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I pray that you unlock my heart, that I might be fully alive to my true identity in you. Give me clear revelation to see myself the way you see me. Help me to stand in your truth, to relish in your love, and to open my heart with faith, hope, and love. Amen. There's an image that I carry with me in my head, and maybe you've seen it. It's a cartoon image. It's a rhinoceros looking in a mirror, and in the mirror, reflecting back at the rhinoceros, is a unicorn. This hefty and stout beast of an animal sees itself as a unicorn, a mythical and beautiful creature. For the rhinoceros, it sees itself as a unicorn. I love that image. Now, let's put a pin right there and allow me to introduce myself. My name is Damian Torres Patello, and I'm a Jesuit studying theology at the Boston College School of Theology and Ministry. And it is a privilege to be able to walk with you during this Lenten season. As we go on this journey, you will come to know me, and I hope that I can get to know you. Feel free to reach out to me anytime during this retreat and share your story, your prayer, your experience of this retreat. My email can be found in the description below. Now, something about this retreat. It is a retreat that will take us through the movements of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola by amplifying the themes of identity, our identity as children of God, human persons created in the image and likeness of God, deepening our understanding of who we say God is in our lives, and moving us closer to see how God sees us. Part of my story is that I have a theater background, and one of my favorite musicals is Godspell. And in that musical, there is a song, Day by Day, which has the lyrics, "Oh, dear Lord, three things I pray, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, day by day." This is the true foundation of this retreat. One more thing. Who is St. Ignatius? And who and what are the spiritual exercises? St. Ignatius is the founder of the Society of Jesus. He was born into nobility and began his career as a soldier while healing from war wounds in 1521 from a cannonball that struck his leg. He experienced a religious conversion. He would take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, take on religious studies in Spain and France, and then gather some friends that would later become the Society of Jesus, which the Pope approved in 1540. In his story, St. Ignatius would go through spiritual trials and compose the spiritual exercises from his experiences. These spiritual exercises consist of four key movements or weeks, which each with its own spiritual gifts or graces, as Ignatius called them. And this retreat you and I are taking together will mirror these movements. Thank you for joining this retreat. It is the hope of the Jesuit Post that you have a deepening experience of God's presence in your life, and that you come to identify yourself with God as a beloved creation of God. So, this question, the theme of this retreat, who do you say that I am? It's a heavy question. It can be a challenging question. It's a question Jesus asks his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 20. It reads, "Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' They said in reply, 'John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the ancient prophets has arisen.' Then Jesus said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter said in reply, "The Messiah of God." I imagine myself asking this same question, turning to my closest friends, looking towards my closest family members, and asking, "Who do people say that I am?" I know I'd hear all kinds of responses. A kind person, a gentle person, hard-headed, dedicated and faithful, too introverted, too social, who knows? But there would be a multitude of responses, some of which would make sense. Some would be surprising. Others, probably a little shocking. And then I would ask, "But who do you say that I am?" Oof. That's a harder question, isn't it? Sort of puts you on your toes. It definitely would put me on the spot if I was asked that question. It's intimidating. It's safer to say what others say than to share what I think about someone. Who do you say that I am? I get chills just thinking about it. Who do you say that I am? I kind of want to anticipate what the person wants to hear rather than offer what I experience. Who do you say that I am? I don't know. Don't ask me that question. And then I imagine Jesus standing in front of me, asking me that question. Damien, who do you say that I am? To be honest, depending on the day, my answers would be different. Today, I would say, "Jesus, you are my partner. You are my big brother." And I would say, "Jesus, you are my savior and my redeemer. Absolutely." And when I can say honestly who God is to me, that reflection in the mirror is very much like that rhinoceros who sees a unicorn, beautiful, unique, and loved. There is something spectacular about God creating us, especially when we think about how the world began, especially in the creation story, a dark rock with no life, a void. Not very spectacular, but God saw something good and beautiful in that. God saw potential. God saw life. And as the story goes, God created light and water and earth. God formed the heavens and the trees, bugs and animals, and us. From nothing, God saw greatness. If I may, I'd like to read you a story. A story by Rabbi Mark Gelman from his book, Does God Have a Big Toe? In his book, Rabbi Gelman retells stories from the Old Testament in funny and compelling ways, not only for children, but for adults too. And in his retelling, he highlights humanity in a way that is chaotic and witty and full of potential. And this is the first story from his book, the chapter titled Partners. Before there was anything, there was God, a few angels, and a huge swirling glob of rocks and water with no place to go. The angels asked God, "Why don't you clean up this mess?" So God collected rocks from the huge swirling glob and put them together in clumps and said, "Some of these clumps of rocks will be planets, and some will be stars, and some of these rocks, well, they're just rocks." Then God collected water from the huge swirling glob and put it together in pools of water and said, "Some of these pools of water will be oceans, and some will become clouds, and some of the water will be just water." Then the angel said, "Well, God, it's neater now, but is it finished?" And God answered, "Nope." On some of the rocks, God placed growing things and creeping things and things that only God knows what they are. And when God had done all this, the angels asked God, "Is the world finished now?" And God answered, "Nope." God made a man and a woman, some from the water and dust, and said to them, "I am tired now. Please finish up the world for me. Really, it's almost done." But the man and woman said, "We can't finish the world alone. You have the plans, and we are too little." "You are big enough," God answered them. "But I agree to this. If you keep trying to finish the world, I will be your partner." The man and the woman asked, "What's a partner?" And God answered, "A partner is someone you work with on a big thing that neither of you can do alone. If you have a partner, it means that you can never give up, because your partner is depending on you. On the days you think I am not doing enough, and on the days I think you are not doing enough, even on those days, we are still partners. And we must not stop trying to finish the world. That's the deal." And they all agreed to that deal. Then the angels asked God, "Is the world finished yet?" And God answered, "I don't know. Go ask my partners." When thinking about our identity in concert with God's identity, what did you hear in this story? For me, in hearing this story, God knew what God needed. God had an idea of who we were to be. God identified us as partners of this human project, co-creators, establishers, foundations. God gave us potential before even forming us, just as God saw potential in a swirling glob. How amazing is that? God sees potential in everything. So, take some time to reflect. Right now, today, in this moment, at the start of the retreat, who do you say you are? Looking at all of creation, who does God say we are? Our faith life is not lived in and experienced in a bubble. Who are the people in your life who brought you to where you are today? Looking at all of creation, who does God say we are? Take a walk if you're able. Go outside or take some time to take a long gaze out your window. What do you feel? What do you see? What do you hear? On your commute to work or your commute back home, turn the music off, take your headphones off, and hear all of God's creation. Sit in appreciation for what God has made, even if it may be ugly or chaotic. Is there beauty to be found? And if so, what is it? Sometimes scripture can be helpful to deepen our prayer. Here are some scripture passages that could be helpful. If you feel moved to read scripture, pick one. Read it slowly, a couple of times. What do you feel or experience as you read? Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. In this, we discover our whole life and self are God's work of art. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. In this reading, we learn that Isaiah finds himself being called by God. And perhaps take a look at Psalm 139. In this affirming psalm, we are comforted knowing that God knew us before God made us. I am excited to be with you this Lenten season. Know that I am praying for you. Even if I don't see you or know you, a prayer community is forming right here and right now, and it is this community I hold in my prayers. Again, if you feel moved, reach out by emailing me at the email in the description below. Let's get to know each other. And one final thought. I have included a song, which can also be found in the description below. Sometimes music can ignite our prayer. Need to Breathe's Who Am I implicitly asks us, who are we? And how amazing it is that however we define ourselves or see ourselves, God loves us anyway. With that, let us pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.